नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय, ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। हरे कृष्णा। सो द प्रीवियस क्लास वाज अबाउट 2 weeks बैक and we discussed about the 9th chapter of the first canto. That chapter described how after the battle of Kurukshetra, the Pandavas with the other members of the family and headed by Krishna and followed by great personalities from all over the universe went to the battlefield where Bhishma Dev was lying on a bed of arrows. So at that time, Bhishma Dev gave Yudhishthira Maharaj some very relevant advice about Varnashram, the rule of the duty of a ruler, the duty of a king. And then when the sun started to move in a northerly direction, then Yudhishthira Maharaj, and then Bhishma Dev decided to leave his body. And he was very fortunate to have Krishna standing in front of him. He naturally had a very deep and loving relationship with Krishna. And seeing Krishna, the way he saw Krishna in the battlefield, in that most beautiful form when Krishna was in the battlefield protecting Arjuna, and for the sake of Arjuna, he was prepared to even break his own vow that he would not touch any weapon. And he picked up the wheel of a broken chariot. So that wheel of the broken chariot in Krishna's hand actually became the Sudarshan Chakra. And he was about to release Sudarshan Chakra to kill Bhishma Dev. And at that time, Arjuna held on to try to stop Krishna. He couldn't stop Krishna, so finally he held on to Krishna's lotus feet from behind. And this is how he kept on urging to Krishna not to do that, not to break his promise. But this sight was actually, this incident became most memorable incident in Bhishma Dev's mind. Actually, Bhishma Dev's relationship with Krishna was in Virarasa, or one of the predominating secondary mellows was Virarasa, mellow of chivalry. So when he heard that in this battle Krishna was not going to touch any weapon, Krishna is not going to fight, then Bhishma Dev became a little morose, because his relationship with Krishna was in chivalry. He used to derive pleasure by fighting with Krishna. Like that was his, as a warrior, that was his mellow. And he decided to break Krishna's promise. And he did that. And that's what made him so delighted, that he made Krishna break his promise. And he was seeing Krishna charging towards him like a lion. His hair flowing, and the hair that has been that has assumed the saffron color due to the dust that was flowing in the battlefield. His uttariya has flown off his body, and with the wheel on his in his hand, he is charging towards him. And in this way, seeing Krishna in front of him, Bhishma Dev left his body. And it has been described that Bhishma Dev went to the spiritual world. He went to Vaikuntha Loka. So this is how Krishna blesses his devotees at the end of their lives. So those who have sincerely practiced Krishna consciousness, Krishna, out of his causeless mercy, will appear in front of them. Therefore, I always remind the devotees that the most important time in our life is the time of death. And what we are doing now is practicing Krishna consciousness so that we can remember Krishna at the time of death. And if we can remember Krishna at the time of death, then Krishna will personally appear in front of us. That is Krishna's promise. That is the understanding that Krishna's name is not different from Krishna's form. If we remember Krishna, if we chant Krishna's holy name, which is not different from remembering Krishna. Chanting his holy name means remembering him. And when we remember Krishna at the time of death, then Krishna will come. Because Krishna is not different from his name. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu Smaranam. That Smaranam, remembrance, is not different from Krishna himself also. So at that time Krishna will come. And what we will experience when we see Krishna standing in front of us at that most critical moment, when we are about to leave our bodies. So that's why we should have implicit faith in Prabhupada's teachings and practice the process of devotional service with all sincerity so that at the time, at the most critical time of our life, when we'll be leaving our body, prana prayana samayi kafobhatu pitto, kantha varodhana vidrodhana vidho smaranam kutasate. At the time of prana prayani, when my life air will be leaving my body, kafobhatu pitto, then my voice, my throat will be choked with mucus, bile and air. At that time, it will be a very, very difficult situation. It will be a very painful situation. Then how can we remember you at that most critical and most painful state of our life? So, therefore the prayer is, I may fail to remember you at that time, but you please don't forget me. At that time, due to my critical situation, I may forget to remember you, but you please don't forget me. Whatever I am doing during my lifetime is simply to receive your mercy at that most critical hour, at the most critical moment. So the 10th canto is describing that how Yudhishthir Maharaj was ruling the kingdom after the battle of Kurukshetra. In the battle of Kurukshetra, they won the kingdom, but Yudhishthir Maharaj was very, very despondent, very much aggrieved that life, that he has killed so many relatives. And he held himself responsible for their death. And he felt that he killed all their relatives. Krishna already advised Arjuna at the beginning of Bhagavad Gita that it was not their doing. This war has been forced onto them. They didn't want to fight. Arjuna didn't want to fight. Arjuna wanted to go away and relinquishing their right over their kingdom. But Krishna insisted, no, you can't do that. If you do that, then people will think that you're afraid, and then you ran away from the battlefield. Now that you're in the battlefield, you can't retreat. You can't retract. So many effort had been made to avert this war. But Duryodhana was adamant. It was he who wanted, he was adamant to fight the battle. You all didn't want to fight. You came back, although you had been deceitfully banished from your kingdom had been usurped by them, and still you accepted that of 12 years of exile and 1 year of incognito. But it is Duryodhana who didn't want to give it back to you when you came back after the condition was over and you claimed your share of the kingdom, the half of the kingdom that you had been already ruling. But Duryodhana didn't want to give it back. So many people advised Duryodhana. Some even told him that Duryodhana, you'll become so powerful if you make your truce with the Pandavas. If you ally with them, then you'll become unrivaled in this world. So become together, unify with them, and rule over the kingdom collectively, jointly. Give them their share, let them reign over their share, you reign over your share of the kingdom. But Duryodhana refused. Then Krishna himself went and he made a final proposal that give them just 5 villages. If you don't want to give them the half of the kingdom, their share of the kingdom, give them just 5 villages. But Duryodhana's response was that without a battle, I'm not going to give them the size of a land, the size of the tip of the needle. Bina yuddhe nahi dipo suchagra medini. Medini means art. Suchagra, suchi. Suchi is a needle. Agra means the tip. I won't give the land the size of the tip of the needle without bina yuddha, without a war. Because he was so confident that he would win the battle. And it was materially that calculation was quite correct. He had Bhishma, he had Dronacharya, he had Karna, he had Ashwatthama, and on top of that he had Krishna's own army in his side. Krishna gave a condition, either you take my army or you take me, but I won't fight the battle, I won't touch even a weapon. Arjun decided to have Krishna. Duryodhana was happy to have his army. So that is the difference between materialistic perception and spiritual perception. Materialistic people see things from material perspective. Oh, so much soldiers, and Krishna alone, he won't fight. Who is Krishna? Another person. But a devotee knows this Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is the creator of the entire creation. He is the controller of the entire creation. He is maintaining everything. So if he is in our side, then what is there to worry about? Therefore the devotees become free from anxiety, Vaikuntha. They are completely free from anxiety because they know that Krishna is with them. So they have nothing to worry about. So this is how the battle became inevitable. And Yudhishthira Maharaj, after the battle, he is lamenting, "Oh, I had been the cause of the death of all my relatives." But Krishna had to remind him, "No, it was not your fault." Like it had become inevitable. You didn't want to fight. And still, in order to pacify Yudhishthira Maharaj, Krishna made Yudhishthira Maharaj perform 3 ashwamedha yagyas, 3 horse sacrifices to sanctify himself. And then being advised by Bhishma Dev, after receiving the advice of Bhishma Dev how to rule as a warrior, as a king, what are the duties. He was aware of the duties of the king. And he advised, taking this advice, he ruled the kingdom. And Krishna also advised him how to rule the kingdom. The ideal ruler becomes a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. That is an ideal ruler. That is an ideal leader. He doesn't think that he is ruling, he is dominating. But he acts as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in this way we can see that every superior is actually a bona fide spiritual master in the Vedic culture. Because superior, when he leads the subordinates, they do that with the understanding that he is a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And his business is to take care of his subordinates as the caretaker, as a representative of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as if the Supreme Personality of Godhead has given them the responsibility. Okay, you take care of my parts and parcels. You take care of these living entities. That is the responsibility of a leader. Whether he is a king, whether he is a brahmana, whether he is a spiritual master, whether he is the father, whether he is a teacher, whether he is the mother, whether he is the elder brother, superior position means take care of the juniors, take care of the subordinates, with the understanding that they all belong to Krishna. The king rules with the understanding that the land belongs to Krishna, and those who are dwelling in that land are his responsibility. Not only the human beings, even the animals, even the insects, even the trees and plants, they are his responsibility. And here it has been very nicely pointed out that when Yudhishthira Maharaj was ruling, the mountains, the rivers, the trees, the oceans, forests, creepers, and active drugs, in every season, paid their tax quota to king in profusion. So the king takes care of the city subjects, and the subjects pay the king the tax. Now here we can see that even the ocean, the rivers, the hills, the mountains, forests, creepers, and the herbs, they all were taken care of by the king. And because they were taken care of by the king, in return they paid the tax. Tax means the ocean gave enough water to form the cloud, and the cloud came down in the form of rain. Then the rivers carried those water to different parts of the land, and as a result of that, cultivation was possible. And due to the cultivation came the food grain, came the herbs, came all the necessities of life. So this is how they paid their tax. The fields produced sufficient grains. The forest gave sufficient herbs and medicinal plants. The trees and creepers gave fruits and flowers. So these are as if they are paying their tax to the king. And the cows were so well taken care of, and the cows were so satisfied in Yudhishthira Maharaj's kingdom. The bags were full of milk. Prabhupada elaborated that point, that when the cows would graze in the field, the milk would drip from their udders. And the field was moistened with cow's milk. So much milk. Because the cows were perfectly satisfied. They were completely content. And also, because Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't have any enemy, that is another name of Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ajatasatru. Ajatasatru means whose enemy hasn't been born. Jata means birth, and Ajata means not born. So Yudhishthira Maharaj was so sinless that no one was his enemy. Even his enemies were not seen by him as his enemy. In this respect, there is a very beautiful anecdote. One day Dronacharya asked Yudhishthira Maharaj to find a bad man, just to find the most bad, worst person. And he told Duryodhana to find the best person in the planet. After a long search, Duryodhana came back and he said he couldn't find a single good person. What to speak of the best person on the planet? He couldn't find a single good man. And after some time, Yudhishthira Maharaj came back and he said he couldn't find a single bad man. So that is the perception of a saintly person and a crooked person. In the eyes of Duryodhana, everyone was crooked. But in the eyes of Yudhishthira Maharaj, everyone was saintly. Although Duryodhana and his accomplices caused so much difficulty, so much trouble, but Yudhishthira Maharaj was totally unaffected by that. We can see that when Gandharva King Chitrasena arrested Duryodhana and his brothers along with their wives, and Karna ran away from that battle because it was the onslaught of the Gandharvas was so severe. Then one of Duryodhana's men managed to run away from that onslaught of the Gandharvas. And he went and reported to Yudhishthira Maharaj. This is what happened. He asked for help. Bhima didn't want to help them. He said, that's good. They got him. They got a proper lesson. They learned a proper lesson. But Yudhishthira Maharaj said, no. They're our brothers. They're cousins. So we have to go and help them. So this is Yudhishthira Maharaj. Although Duryodhana has deceived him in this game of dice, deceitful game of dice, and took away his kingdom, insulted Draupadi in the public assembly, and caused him so much distress, tried to kill them so many times, but Yudhishthira Maharaj's response was so noble. Okay, you may have acted in a certain way. That is my providence. I must have done something wrong in the past. That's why I'm being rewarded in this way. I'm being punished in this way. But why should I refrain from my duty? You may have done so many things to me, but I'm not going to react. I'm just going to stay on the path of Dharma and act accordingly. So that is Yudhishthira Maharaj, Ajatashatru. And since he didn't have any enemy, therefore his citizens were also not affected by any kind of distress or calamity. Everyone was perfectly happy, perfectly situated. There was no disease, there was no mental agony, there was not even excessive heat or cold. That means the weather was like springtime all throughout the year. There was no summer and there was no winter. That is the weather of Vrindavan. It is described, Vrindavan is a region where there is eternal spring, Chira Vasanta. All the time there is spring. So during Yudhishthira Maharaj's reign, the situation of the earth planet became like that. Like the perfect weather for all time, during all time. And then, at that time, Krishna resided in Hastinapur for a few months. Queen Kunti, you all remember, requested him to stay. So Krishna complied to her request. But finally he had to go. And he took permission from Yudhishthira Maharaj. This is the noble dealings of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is acting as a perfect individual. Yudhishthira Maharaj is senior to him by about 2 years. And because of that, he is treating Yudhishthira Maharaj as a superior. And Yudhishthira Maharaj also is treating him, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, as his younger brother. What a good fortune. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has become his younger brother. And while he was seeking for his permission to leave, Krishna offered obeisances to him. Krishna offered obeisances and Yudhishthira Maharaj embraced him. He did not offer obeisances because that will be transgression of etiquette. Vedic culture actually is very prominent in that way, very, very specific in the standards. In the Vedic culture, even if a person is senior by a few days, he's senior in a family relationship. Of course, in spiritual relationship, there are so many other considerations. In actual relationship, age is a consideration, as I just mentioned. Varna is a consideration. A Brahman is senior to the Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudras. Kshatriya is senior to a Vaishya and Shudra, but junior to the Brahmanas. Vaishyas are junior to Brahmanas and Kshatriyas, but senior to the Vaishyas. So this is how in the Vedic culture and the ashrams are very, very clearly delineated. And then there is other consideration is seniority by, ultimate consideration of seniority is by spiritual advancement. Like we see, Shukadeva Goswami arrived in the assembly where Parikshit Maharaj is about to leave his body on the bank of the Ganges. Although he was so young, but recognizing his spiritual advancement, everyone showed him respect. And they offered him the Vyasasan. So this is how we can see the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is acting in a human kind of situation. So family members are there. So among the family members, senior brother, elder cousin is offered respect. And he is acting as a younger brother. And Yudhishthira Maharaj also embraced him like an elder brother would embrace a younger brother when he showed him respect. And then Maharaj Yudhishthir embraced him. him, and then by being embraced by others and receiving their obeisances, Krishna got into his chariot to depart, to leave for Dwarka. At that time, Subhadra, Draupadi, Kunti, Uttara, Gandhari, Dhritarashtra, Jujutsu, Kripacharya, Nakul, Sahadev, Bhimsen, Dhauma, and Satyavati, all nearly fainted because it was impossible for them to bear separation from Krishna. So they all are great devotees of Krishna. They all are extremely attached to Krishna. Dhritarashtra, although his mentality became badly affected by his excessive affection or attachment to his miscreant son, Duryodhana, but now he has become purified. And he also developed his attachment to Krishna. After all, he is also an uncle of Krishna, have a family relationship. Subhadra is Krishna's sister. Draupadi is one of Krishna's greatest devotees, like Krishna's friend. Draupadi and Krishna had a very deep, friendly relationship. Kunti Devi is the aunt of Krishna. Uttara is Krishna's sort of daughter-in-law. Abhimanyu is Krishna, Subhadra's son, Krishna's nephew. Uttara is Abhimanyu's wife, just widowed. Abhimanyu left his body just when he was 16 years old. And Uttara was pregnant with Parikshit Maharaj in her womb. So in that way we can see that after the battle of Kurukshetra, the situation was so sad. Like so many people suffered. Naturally, Yudhishthira Maharaj was feeling that way when he saw the sufferings of those people. Dhritarashtra lost all his 100 sons. And Draupadi lost her 5 sons. Subhadra lost her son, only son, Abhimanyu. And Uttara just married a few months ago after the Pandavas returned from their exile. During that time, Uttara got married to Abhimanyu. Actually, Uttara's father, Virat Raj, wanted Uttara to marry Arjun. He offered Uttara to Arjun to marry. But Arjun said that I had been teaching her dancing for 1 year. And in that way she is my student. She is like my daughter. So how can I marry her? Another reason he gave is that for 1 year I lived in the Andar Mahal, the inner chamber of the palace, where only the women live. And if I married Uttara, then people may think that I had some illicit relationship with her when I was there. Therefore, to alleviate that doubt, to remove that possibility of that doubt, I will accept her as my son's wife. So that is how Uttara got married to Abhimanyu. But in the battle, when Abhimanyu just reached 16 years of age, he died in that battle. And Gandhari was another very noble lady. She was also Krishna's aunt, Dhritarashtra's wife. Jujutsu is actually Dhritarashtra's son who sided with the Pandavas. Dhritarashtra was married to a Vaishya woman, and through her he got Jujutsu. And Jujutsu, although Dhritarashtra's son, but he sided with Pandavas. Actually, when the battle was just about to begin, Yudhishthira Maharaj made an announcement that if anybody from the other side wants to join us, he can stay coming. And Jujutsu was the only one who walked from Kaurava side, Duryodhan side, to Pandava side. Another very noble personality in Jujutsu. Then Kripacharya is Dronacharya's brother-in-law. And Kripacharya actually taught the use of weapons to the Pandavas and Kauravas when they were children. They were the acharyas. Dhoma is the priest of the Kurus, especially the Pandavas. He's a family priest. And Dhoma always tried to protect the Pandavas and saw their, look at their interest, because Dhoma was always in the side of justice, side of dharma. So whenever Pandavas were mistreated, Dhoma always stood up for their side. And Satyavati is the mother of Vichitravirja and Chitrangada, like two sons of Shantanu, Bhishmadev's father. So in one sense, he can, Satyavati is Bhishma's Bhishma's stepmother. Bhishma is the grandfather, grandsire, and Satyavati is still there also. She was the wife of Shantanu. Shantanu got married to Ganga, Mother Ganges, and Bhishma was born. And then Shantanu got married to the Satyavati. And through her, he got two sons, Chitrangada and Vichitravirja. Both the sons died. And in untimely death, actually. Bhishma got Vichitravirja married to these three daughters of Kashiraj. Two daughters, actually. The third daughter, the eldest daughter, didn't want to get married to Vichitravirja. Bhishma kidnapped him from the Swayambhar Sabha. So Ambika and Ambalika got married. Amba took revenge, wanted to take revenge, and eventually became the cause of Bhishma's death. So in this way we can see that those who are intelligent, they understand, they recognize the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And they become, as they associate with the Lord, in the association of pure devotees, and that's how they become free from bad materialistic influence. And they always want to hear the glory of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So Pandavas were naturally very heartbroken because they were the unalloyed pure devotees of Krishna. Now Krishna is living. For a devotee, what can be more painful than becoming separated from the Lord? And it has been described that all their hearts were melting for him on the pot of attraction. They looked at him without blinking their eyes, and they moved hither and thither in perplexity. So they are completely bewildered. They didn't know what to do. Their eyes were fixed at Krishna and they were just completely considering, what are we going to do now, now that Krishna is going away? What shall we do? How shall we survive becoming separated from him? And at that time, the female relatives of Krishna, they all climbed up on top of the roof and balcony. And they tried to stop the tears with great difficulty, because it is understood that at the time of departure, shedding tears causes misfortune. So they didn't want to cause any misfortune to Krishna because he was leaving. So they didn't want to shed tears. But it was difficult to control the tears from flowing. So this is how we can see that how much love they had for Krishna. And Yudhishthira Maharaj arranged 4 kinds of Chaturanga Sena, the army consisting of elephants, chariots, horses, and infantry. These are the 4 types of soldiers. Some fight on elephants, some fight from a chariot, some fight from a horseback, and some fight on foot. So he arranged Chaturanga Sena to follow Krishna, because as an elder brother, he is concerned about his welfare. He thought, if some enemy tries to cause any danger. So much love for the Lord that he has forgotten that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He is thinking, he is my brother, he is my cousin. And he is so protective. Oh, my younger brother, may somebody cause some harm to him. And so he sent his army with him. Then Arjuna took a fan, Arjuna took an umbrella, beautiful umbrella, decorated with pearls and other valuable jewels and frills on the sides, held it on top of Krishna's head. And Sataki and Uddhav began to fan the Lord with decorated fans. So, and then the ladies from the top started to glorify Krishna. That here is he, the original personality of Godhead. As you definitely remember him, he alone existed before the manifested creation of the modes of nature. And in him only, because he is the Supreme Lord, all living beings merge as if sleeping at night. So they know that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. It's not that they do not know him, although Krishna is playing the role as a relative, but they know that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet they have their feelings for them as a relative. So that is the position of the devotees. That is the influence of Yogamaya. Mahamaya's influence is out of forgetfulness. Yogamaya's influence is forgetfulness out of love. One forgetfulness is of ignorance, due to ignorance. That is the forgetfulness of Krishna in the material nature. And in the spiritual nature, the forgetfulness is another dimension. Forgetfulness out of intense love. Mamata. Prabhupada is pointing out that Maya, this is also Maya. That Maya is a feeling that he is mine. In material nature, the relatives, those who are related to the body, or body's designation, we think that they are mine. But in the spiritual platform also there is the feeling of my towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the material nature we develop our relationship, or we feel that their mind or mamata or maya is due to the body's designation. But in the spiritual platform it is with the Supreme Personality of Godhead due to intense love for him. Thinking not that he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he is mine. He is my friend. He is my brother. He is my son. He is my husband. So that is a spiritual relationship. All relationships are centered around Krishna. And everyone is thinking that Krishna is mine. Anyway, in this way, they started to describe that they started to glorify Krishna, and Krishna prepared to leave. And, so as I mentioned earlier, that I'm just giving a class on one chapter each time, each week. But the purpose is to give you a kind of an indication, and give you an overview of the chapter, so that you become interested to read the chapter. So please take your time and read the chapter scrutinizingly, study them scrutinizingly. Take notes. And so this is how let us all get become submerged in an ocean of joy, remembering the wonderful activities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Thank you all very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Does anybody have any questions?
Okay. Good morning. This is Anand speaking. Can you hear me? Hare Krishna.
Yeah, Hare Bol.
We're starting the question and answer session. If you would like to ask any questions to Guru Maharaj, please dial back and you'll be entered into the questions queue. I will then unmute your line once it is your turn to speak, and please ask your question. Once you've asked your question, please once again dial *6 to mute your line whilst Guru Maharaj is speaking. Thank you.
Hari Bol, Anand. So it seems that there is no question. There is no question, yes?
At the moment, there is no question.
Okay. Okay, it's all right. Hari Bol.
Okay, thank you very much. So, thank you very much for dialing in. If you would like to hear a recording of this conversation, this class, please see the link on the email. There's a Google Drive where you can pick up the MP3 files of all the last 10 classes. And in future, we'll be holding these classes every Saturday at the scheduled meeting. Thank you very much for joining. If you'd like to be kept informed, please log on to facebook.com/Bhakti Charan Swami, and all the events will be posted there. Thank you very much. Thank you.